Amen.
Lord, do some unveiling this morning.
Amen.
Lord, oh, we want to feed on your word.
Amen.
This morning we declare, man shall not live on bread alone.
Amen.
From every word that proceeds out to the mouth of God.
Amen.
Speak to us this morning, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you we could be gathered here in your name.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your precious and dear name.
Amen.
Your name is our hiding place.
Amen.
Your name is our stand.
Amen.
Lord, in you we fight in your name.
Amen.
Your name is our victory.
Amen.
Everything we need is in you and in your name.
Amen.
Thank you for your precious name.
Amen.
Pray you would be exalted today.
Amen.
Be manifested more today.
Amen.
Amen. Well, saints, I have three things I'd like to share with you this morning from these last 2 weeks, actually. The first thing is from the Gospel to the Nations conference, which we had in Brooklyn last weekend. And the second one is from week one of the reality of the body of Christ, which we're covering in the church here. That was last week's portion. And I think it's related to, these two are related to each other. And then I also want to share one point from this week's portion on living in resurrection for the reality of the body of Christ. And then Peter will share something we hope we have plenty of time for you all to overflow more. The first point is related to the Gospel of the Nations conference, which was on the central vision, which is Paul's vision, and he was faithful to that vision. And that vision included three words. The Lord spoke to him at his conversion. The first one was Jesus. Very important word to Paul. And the second one was me. And the third word was through the Ananias, right? After he was blind for a few days, the third word was vessel. And I'd like to start with this because this has impressed me very much. First of all, brothers and sisters, we all need a vision. Without a vision, we will run wild. We will just go, you know, we may go anywhere. We may go everywhere. We need a central vision to keep us in line with God's eternal purpose. And Paul got such a vision, and it governed him, and it controlled him his whole life. And the first thing he saw was that this Jesus is the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And this was a big revelation to him. He was out persecuting the Christians. He, before he got saved, he hated Jesus. He thought this was a very heretical thing. So he was persecuting those who followed him. And then when he met the Lord, right, on the way to Damascus, when he met the Lord asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." That's when he met the Lord Jesus. And the Lord was very real to him. But in his thought was, "I wasn't persecuting you. I was persecuting your followers." But there was a great revelation and a great vision in that statement to him. That means that these ones you are persecuting, these followers of the Lord, are me.
Right.
The body of Christ is Christ. The members of the body of Christ are parts of Christ. And Paul, not thinking he was persecuting the Lord Jesus, he was just persecuting some of his followers, was enlightened, very enlightened, right? That became a big part of his vision. And of course, Paul is the only one, the only writer of the New Testament who uses this term for the church as the body of Christ. And that all, each one of us are members of the body of Christ. This is a tremendous vision. It's a tremendous point. And we need to treat one another as Christ, as members of the body of Christ. And then, of course, the last word is very important, and that is vessel, which means we are not the source. We are just containers. The brothers who were sharing last week in Brooklyn, one of them loves this phrase, "I'm a Jesus bottle." He uses this term, a Jesus bottle, just like this, you know, a little bottle. That's what we are. We are vessels for Christ. And we need to receive Him, we need to obtain Him, and we need to continually receive Him and be filled with Him. But a big point last weekend was we also need to flow Him out, to give this life of God I think the word he used was a thoroughfare, right? A thoroughfare. Yes, we enjoy Him. We've been saved by Him. We have Him as our life. But we don't just want to hold Him and keep Him as a secret. We want to flow Him out. That is so He can move. And there's a particular burden for this conference of the Gospel to All the Nations. And it is that many of us, for now, it's almost been 7 years since I started to pray with the brothers for this conference, this burden. It's to help with the ratio of ethnicities in the churches. That even though there is a substantial ratio in this country of those from African descent, either African Americans or from the Caribbean or from Africa directly, those of this descent, we have a very small percentage in the churches. There's quite a burden to reach out to them. There are brothers and sisters to reach out to them with the gospel so that the Lord could return, right? The verse is, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the nations, and then the end shall come. And I used to think growing up that all the nations meant political nations, geological nations. But actually the Greek word is ethnos. Ethnos. So there, all the nations is all the ethnicities, which includes our, whatever ethnicity you are, is included there, right? So this kind of opened up a big and a broad view for me that we need to preach this gospel to everyone. And we don't have to go to, we don't have to go to Africa to preach the gospel, because many people come from Africa here into our, even in Cambridge, right, everywhere, and we can preach the gospel to many ethnicities in our cities in the United States because everybody wants to come here. I don't know why. But they all want to come here. I think it's for the gospel. So we need to be those preaching this gospel. And we've had this conference now for, this is the second time in New York, so I think we're in the fourth year cycle. This conference takes place in the fall in Houston, Texas, and then in the spring in New York, and next year will be in Atlanta, and the following year be probably back to Washington, D.C. We haven't quite decided. But we're trying to, be in areas where much of this population of those from which have descendants from Africa, whether African Americans or from other countries, where they are living. And mostly it's from Texas up along the eastern seaboard. So that's why we've been having this conference, and it's been quite a blessing and quite a striking factor. But the point I want to mention today from this conference is this conference in message 3 was on the one new man. And I want to bring this out. We are on the reality of the body of Christ. There are many, many statuses of the church. The church is known as the Assembly of God, which is talking about the meeting. We have to have meetings to express God, right? The church is known as the house of God, which has two aspects. That is His family, the household, and His dwelling place, the house of God. And the church is both, right? The church is the kingdom of God in Romans 14. The kingdom is not just for the future, but today the kingdom of God is on the earth as the church, and it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And that chapter 14 is on the church. Thank you. That chapter 14 is on the church, so we know the church is the kingdom. And the church is also the bride of Christ in Ephesians 5. It's the warrior of Christ in Ephesians 6. But in Ephesians 2, Christ, on the cross, created one new man.
Amen.
One new man. And this has been a very striking point to me in these last 2 weeks. God created how many men?
One.
He created one man. And that one man fell. How many times? Lots of times. Eventually, in Genesis 11, that man fell so far that they wanted to build a tower to God and, to worship idols. build a tower out of bricks. And God had to come in again to judge mankind. And he judged them at Babel with what? All the languages, which was the beginning of all the divisions among mankind, which now we see in all the ethnicities, different languages, different cultures, different kinds of ways of worship, different ways of living, different ways of having our families and what's important to us in different families. All of these things come from, listen, Babel. Babel. It all started at Babel. Now, God still has a purpose. He created man for his purpose, to express him. But he has to overcome Babel. And I hope you would remember this phrase. Brothers and sisters, we now have the responsibility to overcome Babel.
Amen.
We have to preach the gospel to all the ethnicities. And once we get them saved, we have to love them and be built up with them. And we have to spend time with them. We have to shepherd them. We have to build up the one new man.
Amen.
You know, we often talked about the need of the building of the church. We must be here. We are here. Christ's greatest prophecy is, I will build my church. But that includes the reality of the body of Christ and the one new man.
Amen.
And this, 2 weeks ago when we were there together, preparing for this conference, I had a strong realization that Satan hates the one new man. He did everything he could to damage man in the fall. He got him damaged so far that God had to judge with the flood. Then even after Noah and his descendants repopulated the earth, then Babel came. And he has to stop that with all the languages and all the divisions came out. So to some degree, Satan won part of this battle. He won part of this battle. But he will not win the war.
Amen.
We will win the war.
Amen.
With Christ we will win the war. But how do we win that war? We have to be here with a vision of the one new man.
Amen.
This last conference, Ed Marks was going to come to share. Message 4. He got sick and couldn't come. Then Rick Scatterday was going to come to replace him. And we had a very prominent family, the wife of that family died during the week, and Rick couldn't make it. He had to stay for the memorial. So now two co-workers couldn't make it for this thing. So Ricky was assigned message 4, and I was assigned message 3 on a Thursday or a Wednesday. Then on Saturday morning, I fell, and I broke my wrist. And I told the brothers, I don't know if I've been, I have to have surgery. I had surgery Friday before the day I was supposed to give message 3, and I realized you brothers need to take it. So we have to rearrange again. But in that experience of being together and realizing all of what Satan was doing there, I realized this is not just an accident. This is Satan's attack against the one new man. And he will not be defeated. Even though Joel Oladeli gave most of the outline, I still stood up for 10 or 15 minutes and released my spirit.
Amen.
And mainly my burden was to tell Satan, you're a liar, I still am here, standing for the one new man.
Amen.
And we all need to be this way. We're in a battle, we're in the warfare. Whether we're in the reality of the body of Christ, we're in a warfare. We can say we are the body of Christ. The Bible says we're the body of Christ. But just to say that isn't enough. Are we in the reality of the body of Christ? That's warfare. That's a fight in our daily living. And for us to overcome all of our differences, whether cultural or, even forms of worship and all of these things, we need to die to ourselves.
Amen.
And we need to take Christ as our person. He is the person of the one new man, right? There's no Jew, there's no Greek, no slave, no free, but Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
And we need to bear this burden and to have this responsibility. You know, many times I wonder why these, brothers, pardon me for using this term, I think they allow me to use it, but anyway, why the black brothers asked me to come and pray with them and to get involved in this burden for them. Look at me, I'm not, we're different, right? So, but in this last week as we're preparing, and I told the brothers this, I think it's a little significant that I come from a very divided city. I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri. And in Ferguson, even today, the division between the whites and the blacks is very prominent. There's a battle going on. There's a real warfare going on. And so anyway, that doesn't mean anything, but I find it somewhat coincidental, sovereign of the Lord, that I would be involved in this burden. And I'm very burdened for this. So anyway, I just wanted to share this point from this message on Christ creating. In Ephesians 2, 10 and 15, maybe we can read that again. Here we go. We can read 15 first and then 10. Let's read it together. Abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two
in himself into one new man, so making peace.
For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works,
which God prepared beforehand,
that we would walk
in them.
When I consider Christ's work on the cross, mostly I consider this redemptive aspect of his work on the cross. But this is a big part of his work on the cross. He created something. Yes, he abolished many things. He did away with many, all the negative things actually. But in himself, in his flesh, he created one new man.
Amen.
Which God calls his masterpiece. And I think this is related to the old creation. He created one man, that man fell, but God will recover that man, and on the cross, he recovered that man and created one new man.
Amen.
Making peace, so making peace. And there, all the ordinances were done away with. The dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles was crucified. All the negative things were dealt with. So today, we need to experience Christ as our person.
Amen.
The more we take him as our person, and die to ourself, to our culture, to our upbringing, to our ways of living and worshiping God even, and take Christ as our person, the more reality of the one new man will be manifested day by day.
Amen.
And week by week in all the churches. We need to, I don't know what the right phrase is. Brothers, we need to be a man. And stand for the one new man.
Amen.
And not stand for ourselves and in ourselves, but be willing to sacrifice. Amen. Okay. Now, I thought that was very much related to last week's on the spirit of reality for the reality of the body of Christ. And what struck me was this point in day 4 from last week. And I'd just like to read a little bit on this point. And this is talking about, this is from John 16, right? We read those verses, that when he, the Spirit of reality, comes, he will guide you into all the reality. And this all the reality is referring to all the reality of the triune God. He will guide you into this reality. So I really enjoyed this portion. All that the triune God experienced, including incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection, are likewise realized by this spirit of reality to be the real experiences of the body of Christ. This sentence is packed. What it means is that we have the spirit of reality in our spirit, and all the experiences that God has passed through are there for us to experience as the body of Christ, right? That's what it means. When the Spirit of reality came, he made these experiences of the triune God real in us as our real experiences. Because of this, and this is what's most important to us in application, we can live a normal human life on earth today.
Amen.
Doesn't sound like you're happy about that. We can live a normal human life on earth today.
Amen.
That's wonderful. I love this. We do not lose our temper. That's a normal human life. Nor, this is hard for us, do we blame others or rebuke others. I'm terrible about this. If something goes wrong, I'm looking for somebody to blame. And it's usually me. But I don't want to take the blame. I want to put you put the blame on you, but this is not living by the spirit of reality. We do not blame or rebuke others. Why? Because the death of Christ is realized in us through the spirit of reality.
Amen.
And these points here and in the point on this week from Resurrection bring this point out. We have to die. We have to experience the death of Christ in so many experiences in our daily life. We're all going through different things. But in all of them, the answer is the same. You have to die. Experience Christ in His death, and then of course you will experience Him in His resurrection. Moreover, the Spirit, with the resurrection of Christ, works in us, I love this, to enable us to love and forgive others. To love and forgive others. This may be one of the hardest things for us to do, is to forgive. Someone offends us, if you're in the church life, you will be offended, guaranteed. It just comes with the territory. We're very close. We offend each other. And so we're offended. And then we don't want to forgive because you've offended me. I'll forgive you when you apologize. But many times, just for an example, James actually has never offended me, but I'm going to use James. Stand up, James. James offends me, so I'm offended. I'm going to wait for him to apologize. But he has no idea he offended me. He has no clue he's offended me. Right? I looked at him and he had a sour face and I thought, you know, oh, I come to Rochester and he has a sour face. James is not happy to see me, so I'm offended, you know. But then later on I find out, yeah, he's got the flu or something. He's sick. Good, that's good. His sour face has nothing to do with me. He ate something that didn't agree with him, so he's not feeling well, you know. But we just take, you know, well, whether or not they apologize to you, we still have to forgive. And that may be one of the hardest things. But if we will enjoy the spirit of reality, we will forgive. We will forgive and we will love others. Then the last point is from this second week that we're on this week, on living in resurrection for the reality of the body of Christ. And we read these verses. The first point, I think, is crucial. In order to live in resurrection, we have to see the unveiled truth concerning Christ's resurrection. All the believers believe that Christ died for our sins and He resurrected on the third day. But resurrection is not just an event 2,000 years ago. There is an unveiled truth concerning resurrection. And we read these three sets of verses in Acts 13:33. On the day of resurrection, our Lord Jesus, in His humanity, was begotten as the firstborn Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God already. He was already the Son of God in His divinity. But when He put on humanity, when He incarnated as a man, His humanity was not yet designated the Son of God. He had to pass through 33 and a half years of sinless living. He had to pass through to understand what we go through. Then, in resurrection, the Lord spoke this in Acts 2:33. Well, Peter spoke this actually. This day I have begotten you. This is a quote from the Psalms. He was begotten as the firstborn Son of God. Then too, in 1 Peter 1:3, when we were all regenerated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the many sons were begotten in the resurrection. We need to see this unveiled truth. And then eventually in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 45, the last Adam, who is Christ, became a life-giving spirit. This is the reality, the truth, the unveiled truth behind the resurrection of Christ. So we need to see that. This resurrection life is fully available to us today to enjoy and to live in the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Then I want to share something about this resurrection life from this principle that is seen in Aaron's budded rod in Numbers. And we read the verses, so I just want to, you all know the story. The children of Israel were murmuring, and so God was going to show them who He chose. Well, Korah had rebelled and was judged, and the people were still murmuring, so God had to settle this matter. So each tribe put a rod, dead stick, into the tabernacle, And then the next day, Aaron's rod budded. Only Aaron's rod budded and sprouted and blossomed and bore ripe almonds. A clear picture of resurrection. Now this is Aaron's rod. This is the priestly tribe, the priestly family. So I enjoyed this. This is a matter of a principle for our service. This was on day two. The principle of every service lies in the budded rod. This means that resurrection is an eternal principle in our service to God. A servant of the Lord is one who has died and resurrected. God testifies again and again to his people that authority to serve God lies in resurrection, not in a person himself. All services to the Lord must pass through death and resurrection before they will be acceptable to God. This is a very crucial principle. We all have to realize we have nothing, we are nothing, we need resurrection.
Amen.
And the way to resurrection is always through death. So we need to die daily. And then the last verse we had in this portion was in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9. In order to live in resurrection, we must know, experience, and gain the God of resurrection. And this was in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. I'll just read it to you again. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of our afflictions which befell us in Asia, that we were excessively burdened beyond our power, that so that we despaired even of living. Indeed, we ourselves had the response of death in ourselves, that we should not base our confidence on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This was Paul's experience and all of his co-workers' experience. They had no confidence in themselves. And in our serving together in the church life, we need to apply this principle, to have no confidence in ourselves, but to have our full confidence in the resurrection life of Christ that is within us. I'd like to close with Colossians 3, 12 through 15. The way, of course, to live this out is through the arbitrating peace of Christ. Let's read those verses together. Put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. And over all these things, put on love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which you so you were called in one body.
And be thankful.
So I leave you with this verse, let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts. If we would be those to be exercised to enjoy the spirit of reality and our spirit, we will have the strength, the supply to let the peace of Christ decide. Let the peace arbitrate whether I should say this or I shouldn't say that. Whether I should do this or I shouldn't do that. Let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts in one body. And then we'll be able to love one another and forgive one another with no problem. Because it's not us who is loving or forgiving. It is Christ himself as the spirit of reality. Amen.
Praise the Lord. There are, in the history of a time, and there are many milestones for many things and for everybody. Yesterday was a milestone for Joseph and Allison. Allison mentioned that she had experience and some transaction with the Lord when she was 17. You remember, right? And a lot of sisters, after their sweet 16s, they always have some resolution or exchanges in their hearts. Maybe Allison really gone through that stage, right? But yesterday was a milestone for Joseph to enter into crucifixion. and enjoy resurrection as well. So some of you are yet to be married, right? Our brother from Chicago, Brother Choi, yes, you're, how many years you got married?
Almost four.
Praise the Lord. You are entering into resurrection now. Saints, this topic on the reality of the body of Christ is truly has to go through a milestone of crucifixion and a resurrection. And today we are on the resurrection and also living in resurrection, because our Lord had a lot of milestones. Not talking about a pre-Adamic age, not talking about even the creation or recovery of the whole universe. And even in himself, there are a lot of milestones. Incarnation is one milestone. And crucifixion is another milestone. And a resurrection yet is another milestone. And we know the coming, this age and the coming age will be milestones. And we know consummated this age, we have the last 7 years coming, which might be not too far ahead. Those are milestones. And the realization, the reality today, the realization in the coming age, the kingdom age, will be another milestone. And that milestone will be award for those who establish the milestones in the divine history with him. Otherwise, we'll be crying, weeping, and gnashing. I don't know, you will be regretting missing out a certain milestones. I want to read a few verses before we go through the burdens. And this is a coordination in the body. And I can testify, and I received this burden yesterday to share with Brother Dennis. I said, praise the Lord. Think about our Brother Dennis yesterday, the whole week, actually 2 weeks, he's been suffering. And he suffers, we suffer with him, because we have to take care of a lot of things he cannot take care of anymore. One member suffers, the whole body suffers. And such a big day yesterday, we rejoiced not only with Allison and Joseph, we rejoiced with your family. And we rejoice with Kathy and you. Amen. Allison is our daughter too. Joseph is our son too. Right. And I can testify for a lot of saints out of town. Church in New York City is different now. We are in the body. Amen. We're blended in the body. Amen. And we are open to the body. And we welcome all of you really coming to bless and to blend with the church in New York City. And in Colossians, there is a portion actually really portrayed today's burden very well. That's from chapter 1, from verse 12 to verse 20. Let's read it together.
Giving thanks to the Father.
Who has qualified you
for a share,
allotted a portion of the saints in the light, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Because in him all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordship or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and all things cohere in him. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him
whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. Since the milestones are not only milestones as an event, it's not only historically happened. The milestones is also embodied in a person. And the milestones, now today, is becoming experiential through the Spirit. Because all the milestones are consummated in the Spirit. And that Spirit, today in us, mingled and indwelling, is living out all the reality in this person. So, in the ministry of our Lord, either earthly or heavenly, or the ages to come, there are three stages for his full ministry. I want to show you a few PowerPoints we put it together this morning. And I want to, because it's a little visual aid. I did not make it in Chinese, I'm sorry. So the translator, you have to help, okay? We know the full ministry of our Lord, even starting from 2,000 years ago, there are three stages. The first stage is his incarnation. We know this infinite God limited himself in such a little small Nazarite. The Nazarene Jesus. I mean, everybody can despise upon him. So who is this guy? Nobody understand. Our God who created everything, who even did not choose a rich family, did not even choose an upper class family, even did not choose, I don't know how would you choose using the nations. I mean, choosing such a region, even look down upon. Even the Pharisees will rebuke Cornelius. Don't you check the record? Is there any prophet come from that region? The record shows no. But the greatest, the prophet of the father of all the prophets, was born, grown up in such a lowly family, in such a region where there was no prior prophet come out of that region. So this in this incarnation, if you go to next slide, in this incarnation, we know he brought the infinite God into the finite man, into such a finite man. And through this incarnation, he mingled his divinity and the humanity. So the triune God and the tripartite man became one God-man. There's a first God-man with the mingled spirit from the get-go, the triune God and the tripartite man. Now, as a God-man Jesus, and expressed the bountiful God in his rich attributes with all the aromatic virtues in his humanity. Saints, this is our Lord Jesus. This is a normal human being. The only normal human being is our Lord Jesus Christ. All the reality in Jesus. Now today is our portion. Today that Jesus has been allotted as portions to all of us. And in his crucifixion, he finished with a vicarious death on the cross. And this all-inclusive death afforded our judicial redemption. Since this is an all-inclusive judicial redemption, was accomplished in this period of time, from his incarnation and to his crucifixion. And I go back to one slide. And this week, the burden was in the stage of inclusion. Right. That is, from his resurrection, right, to the building up the church as the body of Christ. So this inclusion, this is the stage from his resurrection. Now today, we are probably reaching the consummation of this inclusion stage. We are almost there. Go to the third slide. In this stage, in resurrection, our Lord, he became the firstborn Son of God. In his divinity, he has always been the only begotten Son who declares the Father and who is the embodiment of all the Godhead, who is the second person of the triune God. But yet, in this resurrection, according to Psalm 2, we just read, on this day, you are born as a son of God. Amen. This is not the firstborn, the only begotten son anymore. He's still the only begotten son. Yet, this one, through the humanity, the human living, and the crucifixion, this one was born again. He was born again, regenerated to be the firstborn son of God. Amen. And this one becomes a big birth of a big birth stool, right? The firstborn, and we were all regenerated according to 1 Peter 1:3, all regenerated with him as his brethren, his younger brothers, as twin brothers, except we were not holding on his heels, but we were Jacob's. Yet this group of Jacob's were chosen ones. Now today, with his indwelling spirit, we are the sons of God. So he became the firstborn, and he became the life-giving spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 15:45b. Now, he has been doing a heavenly work and on the earth, regenerating many sons of God in time, and call so many out, and to be the household of God, to be the house of God, to be his body, and to be his bride. Now today, the church is truly, you know, the real bride of Christ. Allison, if you're listening, you're only a figure. Joseph, you're only a figure. And the true bridegroom and the true bride, now today, is Christ and the church. Praise the Lord. And since the second half of last year, few of us, we've been praying. We've been praying for more weddings than funerals. Yeah. And it's real now. Yeah. And we're praying for more babies born than seniors go. It's true. We're getting so many babies. Amen. In resurrection, that is only real. Otherwise, it's just a fathom. You know, just, now in the church life today, this firstborn, this life-giving spirit, is truly regenerating multitudes and perfecting multitudes to bring them into the body of Christ. Amen. And building up the church as the body of Christ. And of course, today I won't spend time on the intensification. And if you go to the next slide. And this intensification, now we are experiencing the organic salvation. Right. Actually, today's message is mainly talking about living in resurrection, right, experiencing the organic salvation. So here we're talking about intensify the organic salvation, which is the salvation of the soul. And it's a lifelong process. And that's why I say Joseph and Allison, they just started. And they will grind each other and to smash each other to be conformed within to the image of the firstborn. This is a blessing. Okay, this is the blessing.
And in 2 Corinthians life study, Brother Lee was talking about our marriage, our children, our husband, our wife, our family, our job, our boss. It's like a grinding meal. Our family is the lower stone. It's going nowhere. It's fixed. Your job, your situation, you know, other things is the turning stone. And who you are, you are the grain, or for the Chinese, the soybeans, making tofu, you know. You are the olive, becoming oil. It's just everything just pouring in. Many times you will scream, "Lord, it's enough, it's enough." The Lord will say, "No, keep it going." And you're trying to run out, to say, "Press down. Keep it grinding." The most our Lord speak to us, we can understand, is no. Right? It's no. "Lord, can I do this?" No. "Can I think of this way?" No. "Can I take it this way?" No. And this is the salvation of the soul. And the second is through this process to produce overcomers. Because our Lord need sufficient number of overcomers, particularly the first fruits. In Revelation 14, we know there's 144,000 first fruits to satisfy him and to meet his needs. Of course, eventually go through the kingdom and consummate in the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Next one. The time is almost up. Resurrection. Saints, let's really take it to the uttermost importance. Because resurrection is the milestone, really to consummate his purpose. Of course, without a crucifixion, we cannot have the judicial redemption. We cannot enjoy his lead into the salvation. But resurrection is truly the milestone. It's turning the age, turning even from the Old Testament covenant into New Testament covenant. So here is the footnote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. And in this footnote, I just break it down and also reformat a little bit. Let's read it together. "If there were no resurrection, God would be the God of the dead, not of the living. If there were no resurrection, Christ would not have been raised from the dead. He would be a dead savior, not a living one, who lives forever and is able to save to the uttermost, to save us to the uttermost. If there were no resurrection, there would be no living proof of our being justified by his death." So resurrection is a proof that we have been justified. Next one. "If there were no resurrection, there will be no imparting of life, no regeneration, no renewing, no transformation, and no conformity to the image of Christ. If there were no resurrection, there will be no members of Christ, no body of Christ as his fullness, and no church as Christ's bride, and therefore no new man. If there were no resurrection, God's New Testament economy would altogether collapse, and God's eternal purpose will be nullified." So since today, resurrection, you have to go through death. So without a death, resurrection is, there's no foundation. So for us, that's why today, saints, the church life provides such an environment for you, for us to experience the death. If we really think the church life is so joyful, our brother just mentioned, got offended, this and that, and enjoy it. Because if we all just become so courteous to each other, and there's no grinding to grind us through this process.
A lot of saints, we all hope good things. Good things happen. And even the Jews have a famous book, when bad things happen to good people. For the younger generation, you may not read that book, right? That's a book when I first come to this country 33 years ago. That's a book I read. When bad things happen to good people. I thought that's one of the highest of philosophy I can talk about. But not at all. It does not work. It does not work. After I lose my temper and I go check that book, it doesn't work. Today, the death is in the spirit. That's why today we emphasize so much on exercising the spirit. Amen. To enter into the word, enter into the church life. And there's so many experiences and so many times we hear testimonies when you are just almost getting into a fight in your family. If a saint came to your house, knock on your door, you will turn your face to a joyful face in no time. One thing I do not like the American culture. You have to make an appointment to go to Jim's home. I don't like a culture anyway, but in some of the cultures we grew up, you can go to anybody's house, holding your dinner, say, hey, can I eat with you? In this case, the church life, we should recover this. We should recover. Not only the Chinese culture is no good. The American culture is no good. Right. Dennis will tell you the American culture is no good. Bob is no good. Korean culture is no good. The Spanish, Hispanic culture is no good. Saints, in the church life. Right. Of course, we need to have a certain courtesy and this and that. We should all find opportunities to eat together, to meet together, to laugh together, to cry together, to go out together, to play together, to drive around together. Oh, after I come to New York City almost 4 years and 9 months ago, I have to make so many phone calls to make appointments. I don't like it. I want to go to your house, and maybe you are just about to fight. And I want to be the salvation to your household. Saints, let's open our homes. The church life here, that's our Lord. He's in every home. If I go to your house, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for my Lord. It just happened to be living in you. Saints, all of this should be in resurrection. Of course, I'm not going to your house to look for troubles. No, I want to enjoy the church life. Saints, in resurrection, all this become real. Saints, let's all break that so-called privacy, individualism. Oh, first come to this country, do DIY, work, make a man, right? That's the old saying, right? Just everybody has such an arm's length. That's why even though in Ferguson, Missouri, not only history, not only those things, we just keep purposely keeping an arm's length. Saints, we need to break down practically the walls of culture. Language is no issue. It's the culture, the way of eating. You can use a fork. I can use a fork too. If I cannot use the metal one, I can use this fork. What's wrong with it? Let's eat it together. Saints, the church life in resurrection, there is no race. Grace, God swallow up a race, is grace. No race, no tribal, no language, no ethnicities. The one new man is in resurrection. The body of Christ is in resurrection. And look at you. I don't know where did you grow up? Long Beach, California. Long Beach. That's still short. We have Long Island. 120 miles long. Welcome to New York. Saints, we need to pray. The whole church in New York City will enter into the reality of the resurrection. Amen. With this resurrection, saints, in this past 5 years, I think Dennis is more Christly because of my grinding. I'm more resurrectionly because of his grinding. I love you, brother. We really need each other. Don't stay away from one another. The church life is built up. It's the body is a building up process. And you see those craftsmen, those are roofers. Particularly one time I saw in California, they are laying those ceramic tiles on the roof. Man, when I look at them, I just admire them. If you want me to climb up to the roof, I'll be just almost like climbing Mount Everest. But they are standing there. One hand is a saw, the other one, angle, just lay there. They don't measure it. They just look, just lay there. Paul, we need to do that, right? Saints, in resurrection, in resurrection, you will lose the sense of who you are. Because I have been crucified with Christ. Amen. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's in resurrection. Saints, you have been crucified. We have been crucified together with him in his milestone of crucifixion. Next one. In 1996, Brother Lee spoke this six messages on the secrets of God's organic salvation, the Spirit and our spirit. He listed 9 items, so I chose 8 of them because the last one was intensification. For this 8 items, let's read it and I will finish because time is over. The generating spirit in our spirit, quickened by Christ, regenerates us, giving us authority to be the children of God, begotten of God. The nourishing spirit in our spirit, cherished by Christ, feeds us with the spiritual milk of the word that we may grow unto salvation. The sanctifying spirit from our spirit, captivated by Christ, sanctifies us with the nature of God, making us holy unto God. The renewing spirit in our spirit, indwelt by Christ, renews us that we may put on the new man through the breaking of the cross. Next one. The transforming spirit in our spirit, filled by Christ, transforms us unto the glorious image of Christ for his expression. The building spirit in our spirit, possessed by Christ, builds us into the house of God and the body of Christ for their dwelling. The maturing spirit in our spirit, enriched with Christ, conforms us to the image of Christ, the firstborn Son of God, the model of God's sons. The sealing spirit in our spirit, exalting with Christ, saturates us with and brings us into the glory.